Welcome to the Great Outdoor Show on WLVL. Brought to you by Getsony Insurance, your one-stop shop for all your insurance needs.
All right, good morning, everybody. Today is December 19th. It's a Tuesday, and that means that I have in studio the one, the only, your hero and mine, Mr. Frank Campbell. Good morning.
Oh, I was waiting to hear who you said. I thought, like, someone important's here.
It's all you, brother. It's all you, Mr. Campbell.
Yeah, what was up this morning with the world's second greatest outdoor show?
Well, that's what Bill called it.
But, yeah, well, this morning was basically, it was a lot of stuff that could have happened that didn't, thankfully, and we had a good meal and feeling like, I want to take a nap.
That's pretty much what I feel like.
Yeah, course, overeating.
Of course, my stomach is ready to explode, given that I had fish, eggs, donuts, beef jerky, provolone cheese, crackers, and Mountain Dew.
Were you someplace I wasn't? I got backstraps and donuts. And eggs and fish.
Yes.
And donuts.
Backstraps. Yes, and backstraps.
Yeah, and the backstraps were phenomenal. Yeah.
Well, I brought the crackers and cheese with me. And the Mountain Dew.
You were in your own party. I like it.
Yeah, I had a party before the party, man.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah.
I'm an old party before the party, way back guy kind of guy. So at any rate,
pre-gaming.
Frank is going to tell us all about what's going on in the world of fishing and in the world of economics here and how it's impacting our region. And if you would like to join the conversation, you certainly can by calling 433-1433 with questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, however you want to do it. Frank can handle it because that's just the kind of guy he is.
Yeah, let's open it up to whatever we want to talk about today. I do have some stuff I'd like to highlight. I was at the Lhotse holiday gathering the other night, which is Lhotse, which is Lake Ontario Trout and Salmon Association.
We have a call already.
All right.
All right.
Let's fly.
Good morning, caller. You're on with Frank Campbell.
Good morning. I have a question. Now, last week, a couple of times, we had temperatures in the 50s, and by the Burt Dam, there were at least 30, 35, 40 cars. You know, they come and go. Why did they take the Johnny on the spot? Everyone asked, where's the Johnny? They don't need like five during the busy season, but for the last 20 years, they had at least one Johnny there in the parking lot.
So we're absent a Johnny on the spot at the Burt Dam, yes, and there's still people using the facility. Is that what you're saying?
Well, they use the nature facilities.
Well, hopefully not for number two, but...
did Newfane lose money?
No, Newfane actually did very well at the Burt Dam this year. I think visitation for the Fisherman's Park was up about in the 5% range, and there was a lot of people from out of state. So, you know, what I'll do is I'll get a hold of a supervisor there.
Just one is on it.
Yeah.
But of course, this was an exceptional year for the brown trout. There was never so many brown trout in by Burt Dam there. Everyone's catching brown trout, and, you know, people are still coming as far as, maybe today there won't be many people there, but when you get, you know, with the warming days we get, like I said, there was like 40 cars there. Other years, you didn't see that many cars.
Yeah, the usage is definitely still there.
Well, just one is all they need, really.
Yeah, well, what I'll do is I'm going to reach out to Supervisor Syracuse and just see what the whole scenario is.
They redid the lot now, unless they plan to re-put one back in, you know, because during the busy season they have like 8 or 10.
Yeah, I know. They have a bunch of them,
Okay,
down
then,
there.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. We'll look into it and we'll
thank you.
Report back.
All right. Very good. Well...
Yeah, so, I mean, that's something that you really almost need down there. As I said, the visitation at Fisherman's Park was up about in the neighborhood of 5%. A lot of, out-of-town visitors, and it would be nice for them to have a facility to, use if needed. So, that's a great point the gentleman brings up, and I will bring it up to, the powers to be down there in Newfane that run the Fisherman's Park and see if we can't get something done.
You're going to be number one for their number two.
That's a good way of looking at it.
Yes, it is. I told you, Frank, you were everybody's hero.
Yeah, well, we'll see about that. So, you know, I actually attended the Latsa Christmas holiday gathering last week over there at the North Amherst Fire Hall, and we had the pleasure of having the DEC there to give us an update on, you know, the sport fishing and the stocking and everything else. And Steve Hurst was there, and Chris Lagarde, you know, they did a great job presenting. But some good news came out of the meeting. We do know that this coming year we are going to get about a 10% increase in salmon stocking, or salmonoid equivalent.
Nice.
Chinook equivalent stocking in Lake Ontario by New York State, which will bring us back up to over a million salmon being stocked in the lake. We haven't seen that number in quite a few years. They say the bait fish is in good condition. There was a little bit concern on the overall size of fish this year. Was down a little bit. Not sure exactly what's going on there. It could be fish are maturing early. It could be, you know, there's more wild fish, and therefore we're going to see them a little bit smaller. There was all kinds of, you know, I guess, talk on that. But, you know, the important thing is the stocking is going to go up about 10%, which equates to 100 and some thousand fish extra. Ooh. That we're going to get this year in the form of salmonoid, Chinook salmon, or equivalent. And what they mean by equivalent is the fish that they stock would equate to one Chinook salmon. So, for example, lake trout are 1.1 lake trout equals one salmon. If you go to rainbow trout, it's like 3 to 1. So it's the amount of bait fish that they actually eat. You know, rather than just saying we're putting a million salmon in there, if they're putting in steelhead, they'd be able to put more in, essentially, because the salmon are going to be at the top of the food chain and eat the most. So that was awesome. This coming year, it looks like they're going to put in salmon in the tune of 100-some thousand extras, and then we're going to get about 40,000 lake trout in addition to that, or what would be salmon equivalent of 37,000 salmon. You know, they did say that the bait fish the last couple of years have been on a upswing. The Young of the Year Alewives for 2 years in a row, and that is promising. I think these warm winters that we're having are really helping out the fish, or the bait fish numbers, and they're, you know, letting the fish feed longer. So you would assume that the fish would be bigger, but that's just not the case. The average size of the Chinook went down a little bit last year, which is a little bit concerning, but they're looking into why that could be. Maybe they're running a little bit earlier. Maybe, as I said, the wild fish makes up a good portion of what's out there in Lake Ontario. As a matter of fact, at the meeting, they said that between 25 and 75% of the salmon in Lake Ontario are naturally reproduced. We never thought that we'd see that. I mean, that's an extraordinarily high number. So basically what that tells us is the streams are cleaning up, things are going in the right direction, and these fish are able to naturally reproduce. A couple things about the naturally reproduced fish. As a general rule, they start out the first year to 2 years on the smaller side than their stocked counterparts, which, you know, would also add up to, you know, smaller fish that they're you know, measuring and weighing. Another thing that these wild fish do is they take on different habits. So, you know, there's instincts. They're actually spawned later, or they're actually hatched later, so they're in the system a little bit longer. But nature will take over, I feel, and it'll end up being a good mix of fish. I think if we could keep that mix at about 50-50, it's a good thing. Here on the West End, we don't get a lot of natural reproduction. So what that equates to is the need to stock fish. What we're finding is that the stocking is letting these fish survive at a higher rate through pen projects. All our salmon were pen reared last year, which is great. It gives them a good start. It you know, instead of being, you know, a couple inches long, now we're letting them go at 4 inches. Basically, what happens when we get these stocked, when we get these salmon in the spring, they are at about 130 fish per pound. by the time we let them go, they grow to about, let's say, 60 to 80 per pound, which is a almost doubled in size, which is a great way to send these fish off and to get them, a head start on life in the lake, per se.
Life in the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. Well, it's pretty good living till
when someone feeds you all morning long in a pen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not bad. No birds eating you. No other fish eating you. But then that could happen.
Well, you know, there's the old thing, if it ever looks too good to be true, it probably is. Yeah. Even in the world of fish.
Fish, exactly. Exactly. what's happening, too, is we do have these pen projects online, and we're actually going to expand a couple of them if we do receive an additional stocking. And, I just want to thank legislator Irene Myers.
Right.
Down in the Youngstown area, she actually came up with some funding for the Niagara River project down there to build another pen. And what that'll enable us to do is we'll be able to pen rear more steelhead, and or if we get a bumped in salmon, we'll be able to take care of them. So, hats off to Irene. She's a big supporter of the sport fishery down there, as are all the legislators, really, in the county. We've got a great body of, great body to work with as far as the sport fishing. And, they've been nothing but supportive. And obviously it's yielded with results. That last economic impact study put sport fishing at almost $60 million a year worth of economic impact for Niagara County. So, keeping that, where it is now, you really have to do things like you have to, keep the stocking levels at the way they are, or increase them. And, the support from the legislators is, greatly appreciated throughout the whole sport fishing community.
That's right. A couple hundred thousand dollars is dropping the bucket to 65 million. Is that what you said?
It's about 58.5 million.
Yeah,
almost $60 million.
Yeah, so that's a nice trade-off.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, we are having another pen built for the Youngstown project, but mm-hmm. they're doing the same thing up in Alcott. So I guess it's anticipation, the possibility of getting more salmon. But also we've learned through meetings that the steelhead that they're stocking, they're feeling that they would like to pen over a few more steelhead and give them the same scenario as the salmon, where they're going to get a little jump on life by being released a little bit bigger. So those pens will not go to waste. They're either going to be used for salmon, trout. They'll be used somewhere, either Alcott, Youngstown. Wilson has a pen project online for steelhead. I mean, whatever we can do to enhance the fishery is a good thing. And, through support of the legislative body, it, is going in the right direction, no doubt about it.
Nice. So, any word on the elephant, the big elephant in the room that has wings?
We're talking about maybe a cormorant.
That could be it, yeah.
Yeah, so actually there is some good news on that front. We stock these fish in pens because it gives them a opportunity to acclimate to their surroundings, to imprint to the river or to the creeks. But it also keeps the cormorants off their backs for a little while. And what happens is some of these stockings in the last couple of years have been devastated by cormorants coming in the thousands in numbers. I mean, they come in and they just wipe out a stocking of trout or salmon that they're just put in by the DEC. It's something that we don't want to see. Obviously, we have a big economic, driver here in Niagara County in the sport fishing. So when we see these fish put in and see them decimated by these cormorants, I think it's a loss for everybody. Cormorant numbers are really, really grown. I think last year the DEC was shocked by the number of cormorants that came through in the spring, and it just so happened to coincide with a lot of the stocking. So there's some video out there that's pretty, I'm going to say graphic, just because these stockings had no chance. They were put in, and a flock of 1,000, 2,000 cormorants come in and just basically wipe it out. They're very efficient predators. and they, you know, they can do in a whole stocking in a matter of minutes, you know, not in a matter of minutes, but in over maybe a half an hour, you'll right. see a whole stocking gone, and all you see is birds diving, and just it looks like an ocean scene. It's crazy. Well, we, through Fisheries Board, we contacted some of the federal congresspeople, such as Congresswoman Tenney's office, Senator Ort, Norris, Ange Morinello, and, you know, got some backing from the county legislators. And we're looking at the possibility of taking out more cormorants in the spring as they're coming through, you know, to lessen the impact on not only the sport fishing, but also in Olcott, they were having to close the beaches
yeah.
during the summer because they think that it was fecal material by these birds that are being dropped. So there is some stuff, you know, that's being looked at. One thing that I know is I've heard that they're going to increase the cull permits that are going to be given out to the state to the tune of 2,000 to 2,500 cull permits, which last year I believe was about 1,000. So they want to cull some more of these cormorants that are coming through. What happens is the USDA comes in and they will actually, you know, come in and lethally take these birds that are known to, you know, infest the harbors and in the harbor areas. And, you know, it also sends a message to the other cormorants, and you'll see a lot of them disappear. So it's pretty important that they do take those birds. But there also is talk of a deterrent project. And what I mean by deterrent projects is these birds like to roost on the piers. They like to roost on the new break wall. They like to roost on the old piers. And we are looking at possibly going in and deterring them from settling in those areas, you know, which I think leads to your closing of the beaches during the summer because... Right. Those birds are roosting. They drop their droppings into the water. Their droppings are very acidic and very nasty. And they end up with, you know, all kinds of bad stuff in the water, and the beaches have to close. So deterrence could include, you know, maybe hazing. It could include things to deter roosting there, such as maybe a spiking scenario where the birds won't land. There's a lot of things being looked at. I think it's important that we are looking at them, and I think it's good. I think we have, you know, a big driver here, and we hate to see it go away because we're overpopulated birds that don't have any control on them is basically what's happening.
Right, with no natural predators.
Yeah, no, and there are none, and that's the problem. It's like we've unbalanced things, and now it's time for us to try to rebalance them.
Right.
You know, the cormorants are just... out of control. We saw flocks of thousands and thousands and thousands of them coming through Lake Ontario last year. But it's not only here, it's everywhere. You know, they're seeing them down south, they're seeing them in some of the other lakes. So until we get some type of, I guess, program to control numbers, we're going to see stuff like that. And that's not exactly what we need.
No, it's not. But... hopefully the powers that be will see it, that we can reduce those numbers substantially and have them not eat all our fish.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we're going through a lot of effort to
and
get
pollute
these,
all our water.
Yeah, we're going through a lot of effort to, you know, upstocking and to take care of, you know, all kinds of stuff. And then to have the birds come in and decimate it is really, you know, it's kicking the can, if you would. You know, another thing that came out of this meeting was Ontario is also going to increase their stocking of Chinook salmon in Lake Ontario. It's a joint effort to stock Lake Ontario, but it's a mutually agreed upon number that they come up with every year. And Ontario looks like it's going to increase its stocking about 15%.
Really?
Though they don't put as many in, so the number's not as big. It's still an increase. You know, that tells me that... Ontario and New York both feel like the lake is in decent shape. The numbers of young of the year alewife, which are the number one prey for these Chinook salmon, are significantly up the last couple of years. And with a mild winter and even a mild spring, you know, that helps us get through and keep those numbers up. So, you know, kudos to Ontario, kudos to New York. We're going to go up in numbers, and I think you're going to see, you know, a continued great salmon fishery even get better in the next couple of years. I think last year's catch rates, if I remember some of the charts from the other night, were about the highest, I think the second highest ever. And that's pretty significant. We had a lot more people fishing the area, we felt. You know, the Derby numbers were up. As John said, over at Burt Dam, the numbers were up. So everything's pointing to more usage. Well, with more usage, you need more fish. And I think that right. We're going in the right direction with that. We've done a lot of stuff to enhance the fishery. We talked about the pen projects, putting more pens online. We're also looking at, you know, the possibility of putting a tank project back online at some point. A tank project would take the place or enhance these pen projects. And what we do is we'd raise trout and or maybe salmon, or salmon and or trout in these pens for a given period of time, and taking a lot of more of the variables out of there, such as water temperature and, you know, vandalism, things like that. So we're looking into a couple things through the Greenway, and hopefully we can get them off the ground and get them going in the right direction and keep a great fishery going, you know, upward.
A tank would be great.
So we've done it. We did a little experimental pilot project a few years ago, and it was successful over the course of a couple of years.
Uh-huh.
We think we could do it on a larger scale, and you know, we're hoping to reach out to Greenway and some of our other partners in the fishing world and make this a reality. You know, big things coming. It's still in the infancy stages, still got to cross a lot of hurdles, but you know, it's a big positive for a lot of things, the sport fishery, the tourism industry, everything. So it should go. Hopefully it will go. Hopefully we won't, you know, run into any roadblocks. Or if those roadblocks are there, we can, you know, move them. That's the ultimate goal, is to keep the fishery growing and keep it strong and keep the visitation and the local interest in sport fishing, you know, at a high level.
Good. Now, with the increase of sport fishermen coming in, there's always the talk about no place to put them. They always stay in Niagara Falls or Lewiston or Youngstown, and they'll make their way to Wilson, Olcott. Now, is there still rumors of a hotel being built?
Yeah. You know,
you know anything about that?
You hear some of that.
Yeah.
You know, until it shovels in the ground, I guess you are a little bit pessimistic, you know, to see if it will would happen. But one thing that we do know is these people are coming in, and they are using the VRBOs. They are using the Airbnbs.
Mm-hmm.
And they're also using the state campgrounds and the other campgrounds here. So, you know, the need for more housing of these people, or temporary housing, short-term housing, is definitely there. You know, you talk to the state parks, and they're all sold out. You know, they're sold out for their camping and their, you know, the whatever cabins that they have available. It's a big impact. You know, I think we're gaining ground on opening up some eyes, and I do think that you're going to see more opportunities for, you know, housing these people, or hotels or motels or whatever it may be. You do have a couple smaller ones that do very well, you know, Lake Ontario Motel and you know, the one down on the lake there in Ransomville,
mm-hmm.
Lakeview. They do very well with the fishermen. The fishermen drive a lot of their business. So, you know, you'd always like to see one in Wilson. You've always liked, you know, you'd like to see more in Olcott, because Olcott's a very high usage area. You know, a couple great things that I've learned recently. One of the things is the Lock Derby, which their numbers are up for the Spring Derby here mm-hmm. in Niagara County. You know, they were actually having problems with the 4 Mile Creek State Park being closed, you know, to traffic till Memorial Day. I didn't believe they were open. Well, I just got a little word that could possibly be changing, and we might be opening 4 Mile Creek State Park for camping and trailering the first week in May. So
nice.
That's significant. I mean, they looked at those numbers. They said their need was there. They are looking at the possibility of, you know, hey, this state park is pretty pretty busy, so let's try to get it going in the right direction. And, you know, word is that they're going to try to open early this year in May, and that'll be a big boost to the Lock Derby and to the local fishing community. So, you know, good thing they're listening. They're looking at the reports. They're looking at the need, and they're helping out. That's what partners do, you know. And as I've said, looking at that economic impact study of $58.55 million, people were 97% satisfied coming here and wanted to return.
That's incredible.
You don't hear that. And
no.
To me, that tells me the fishing's great, right?
Yep.
The captains that they're going out with, great, great experience. But it also has to, you know, spill over into their accommodations, their restaurants or wherever they went to eat, their dining experiences, their ability to go to different grocery stores and get stuff. It's an overall experience,
sure,
because these people aren't coming here and fishing from 6 in the morning till 9 at night and then going to bed in the back of their trucks.
Right.
You know, it's just not happening. They're coming here. They're eating breakfast. They need stuff for lunch. They're eating dinner. They need a place to stay. They need gas, places to buy gas. So everything's going in the right direction, and that tells me that the partnership's working. You know, all the way around, it's a win. That circle is complete, and it keeps on going. And, you know, as long as that works out like that, I think everybody's a winner.
Agreed. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Frank Campbell here on The Great Outdoor Show here on WLVL 1340 AM, streaming worldwide at WLVL.com. You can feel free to join the conversation if you like by dialing 433-1433. Frank will be happy to take your calls and answer your questions, or if you have any concerns, he can certainly address those as well. So how's your belly sitting after that big breakfast? You doing all right now?
Yeah, I'm doing all right. I mean, it is the season to, you know, overindulge in everything.
Right.
And, you know, I started the process this morning. I mean, I haven't had a donut in a while, and I went and stopped at Tops in Lewiston this morning and Domino's and picked up the donuts, and they rival anyone else's. I mean,
they're huge.
I don't know if there's any that are left out there, but I might take one to go just to practice a little more for the holidays.
Well, everybody should practice.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. You know, Eric, I was lucky enough to get out fishing this weekend. I had a trip, and the people actually had a great trip. Fishing's been pretty much on fire. You know, I've never had in 30-plus years of chartering had the fishing like this late in the year. And started for the last month and a half, the Niagara Bar has been on fire. Burt Dam's got more brown trout than we've ever seen. The lower river, the steelhead fishing's been great. The brown trout fishing's been great. And it's, you know, it's showing, because there were a lot of boats out there. Every time that I've been out there, people are realizing that we have probably the best fishery in the country. It's a mix of Canadian boats, out-of-town boats, local boats, charter captains, and everybody's catching fish. As a matter of fact, this weekend when I was out there, I saw the guys from Fishing 411, Mark Romanek, was out there filming a show. So that show will probably air sometime in 2024. And Mark's words were, you know, just when I think it can't get any better, I hit a home run every time I come. So,
wow.
You know, it's great.
And just when we think it can't get any better, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. William Hiltz Jr. has joined the conversation.
We just move up to the greatest fishing show again, not the second.
Yep. I just thought I'd raise the bar for the second greatest outdoor show.
I appreciate it, bro. I always appreciate it.
Hey, I'm sorry. I just wanted to make comment a little bit about the meeting with DEC through the Lake Ontario Trout and Salmon Association that we had there last Thursday. That's always a great meeting, and lots of puts on a nice spread for enticing their members to come out. And just a little plug for LOTSA. They also run pens in Alcott. And they help with all the education, including the big salmon school at the Greater Niagara Fishing Expo. And it's a very active club, and membership is only $10. So, you know, I would encourage anybody who fishes Lake Ontario or the Niagara River to sign up as a member, LOTSA thenumberone.org is their website, and it's well worth the $10. And they have seven or eight meetings a year, and every meeting they have some sort of a keynote speaker. And this time they had like four from DEC. Congratulations to Jim Markham, who is the new Region 9 fish manager. He came over from the Lake Ontario Fisheries Research Unit, and he took over from Mike Clancy, who was a big friend of Niagara County. And Steve Hurst was there, Mike Connerton, probably the top biologist for Lake Ontario, and Chris Leegard, who is the Lake Ontario unit leader. So all those guys were there, and it's a different version of what we used to call State of the Lake. They give out some information that's beneficial to people that are attending, but they're also there to answer questions. And a couple of the most interesting things to me was they're revamping their whole brown trout program. And starting in 2025, they're going to be stocking a new strain of brown trout that should be better for fishermen. And then the work that they've been doing on the Chinook salmon by creating a library of all the genetic strain of each fish that is stocked in the lake, so they can determine which fish are naturally reproduced and which fish are stocked. You know, and the kind of information that was available to anglers, I mean, that room should have been totally packed, standing room only. And what was there, maybe 50 people there?
Yeah, I counted about 50. And actually, you know, good gosh, the Lhotse part of it, where you have a $10 membership, I'm going to say I know most people ate more than $10 worth of pizza while they were there.
I didn't. I only had a couple pieces.
I saw the to-go box.
No, I agree. They always do a great job.
No, I agree 150%. And, you know, you're 100% right. I mean, they're looking. One thing about the state DEC is they're always looking to improve, and I'll give them credit for that, because their brown trout stocking program was, you know, taking, I'm going to say, they were taking the same fish for what, Steve, say 40 or 50 years, you know, the brood stock, and there was no genetic diversity there. So they were, you know, they were basically creating a family tree that had no branches, if you would, you know. You know, and now they're introducing some new strains, and they feel that it's going to, you know, enhance this fish's survivability, and, you know, also the characteristics that make it a more worthy foe when it's out there on the water, you know. So that's a good thing.
Sure. I think it's a cross between a domestic strain of their brown trout and a wild strain that they pulled from Oriskany Creek. And they're in the process of building that brood stock so that they can start stocking in 2025. And, you know, I think to start off, the fish are maybe a little bit smaller, but it won't be long for them to be able to catch up. Yeah, this revamping of the program, I think, is just what brown trout needed.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's a lot of things going on in the lake. You know, they talked a little bit about the Atlantic salmon stocking, which, you know, they've been putting in more numbers, and obviously more fish are getting caught, you know, so they're really interested in that. As you talked about, the DNA parental, you know, study that they're the library that they're creating of the Chinook salmon, you know, there's a lot of positive things. I wouldn't doubt if you see, you know, one interesting thing that I saw or I heard was that there was a little bit more wild reproduction than what I would have thought here in the west end of Lake Ontario and the New York side. And you know, there was actually somebody mentioned about the possibility of enhancing the enhancing the environment to create better spawning opportunities for these fish. Is that what you heard?
Yeah, Yeah, you know, I think they're always looking to improve habitat. And you know, you mentioned Atlantics. I think the combination of them stocking a better product and using the pens out in the Salmon River that will help the survival rate increase. You know, we're going to see more Atlantics down there. Now, it's still a relatively small component to the fishery, but I think Atlantic salmon catches, based on the open lake creel, they were up like 80%,
yep.
Which it's still not big numbers, but I think that, especially in the tributaries, we're seeing more and more of those fish being caught, especially the two down here in the Western Basin that really are impacted the most are the Oak Orchard River and Sandy Creek. But, you know, we're starting to see some in, like, 18 Mile Creek. I saw a few pictures of some nice Atlantics, and I think you caught one on the Niagara Bar and Lower Niagara River.
Yeah, we did catch. That was the first Atlantic I'd caught in a while, and I've heard of a few more. So, you know, and this really isn't the high season for Atlantics. Believe it or not, we see more Atlantics on the Niagara Bar in that late May, early June time frame. So I'll be looking forward to seeing you know, whether or not we see more of them. I think we will.
Sure. And I have to believe that more are caught than what people realize, because they misidentify them. A lot of people think they're brown trout.
Yep.
So I think a lot of fishermen need to brush up a little bit on their fish identification. And they should know what they're catching out there, you know?
Oh, 100%. I mean, they have different rules and regulations for different fish. Not that there's a variety, you know, a large variety of different rules and regulations, but when it comes to Atlantic salmon, they got to be 25 inches. You know, they're not a brown trout. They're trying to grow them, and they're trying to get them, you know, back into streams and, you know, create that fishery. So there is a 25-inch limit on those, and it doesn't take long to go, you know, grab a book from any of the licensing issuing agents, or go online, you know, and do a little work. Say, how many steelheads are you allowed? How big do they have to be in certain areas? Because you're better off doing it now than when you're fishing and find out that you did something wrong.
So when you're out there and you catch an Atlantic, do you have to, you know, call somebody in to help you identify it?
I do not. No, I do not. I mean, there's some telltale signs. Usually Atlantics have a lot less spots than brown trout. Usually their mouths are a little bit more pointed than brown trout, not as round. But also their tails are more of a V, whereas brown trout are straight. So those are just some of the characteristics that you can, you know, get into their spots versus X's. I mean, you know, there's all kinds. It's a definitely a different fish. You can see how people could confuse them. But mostly, if you do a little bit of homework, you can find out, you know, that there is a difference, and you really need to know that difference. Or if you're not sure, let it go. That's the easiest thing to do.
Sure. And I think we're seeing some more catch and release than we used to see. Not that people don't keep an occasional coho or salmon or steelhead for the frying pan or the smoker, but I think catch and release is one of the politically correct things to do. And when you're talking, you know, brown trout or Atlantic's steelhead, they will spawn and then go back out into the lake and continue to live, whereas the king or coho, Pacific salmon, once they spawn, they die.
Yep.
And one of the things that you had mentioned was that we might be seeing some of these fish maturing early. As far as Chinook salmon, they might be maturing early because they are getting that jump start in the hatchery and also in the pens, and they're growing a little quicker, and with the amount of bait that's been increasing out in the lake, we might be seeing those fish maturing at age two, and the wild fish are maturing at age three.
Yep.
So you know, it's a big experiment out there, you know, and I think the Lake Ontario fish managers and biologists are doing a good job with what they have to work with. And you know, it's a constantly changing resource, too. So, you know, if people wanted to find out more information, you know, attending some of those meetings with DEC is an absolute must. And with that Greater Niagara Fishing Expo just around the corner, there is going to be 4 hours set aside on that Saturday, December 17th, or February 17th, I'm sorry. And that day is going to be a DEC open house where they're going to have the biologists and the fish managers that manage not just Lake Erie, Lake Ontario, Niagara River, but also the Finger Lakes. And I think that it's important for people to attend that event just for the open house alone, but there's still over 200 seminars over the course of the 4 days, and it's going to be another outstanding fishing show.
Oh, I agree. I mean, it's growing every year. It's getting better every year. I know the Salmon School has 170 attendees. It's sold out, but there is room at the walleye school. I'm telling you, if you want to become a better walleye fisherman, these guys are top-notch. They know what the heck they're talking about. You're going to come away with something that makes you a better fisherman. And, you know, it's one of the paid seminars or schools. There's plenty of free ones, but the opportunity to learn and become a more educated angler is, you know, right at your fingertips by attending, you know, at any time at the show. It's just, man, it's, I've been to a lot of shows, and I'm going to tell you, that ranks right up there as, if not the best, probably one of the best, you know, outdoor experiences you can have at an outdoor show.
Well, you know, I've also attended a lot of shows through the years, and the amount of education and the quality of the education is the best that I'm aware of. And you mentioned the walleye school there. I mean, between Donnie Rupert, who runs the Sunset Bay Shootout, he's a charter captain on Lake Erie. There's Craig Sleeman, who fished that National Walleye Tour and made it to the finals when it was in Dunkirk here a few years ago. And Lance Valentine, who's not only a walleye charter captain, but he's involved with teaching fishing, he's involved with education, and he's an electronics wizard.
Yep.
And the cost includes your admission. So you get 4 days of this fishing expo as part, I think it's $25 for a four-day pass. But then you get lunch, you get a full day of education, you get an evening social with the speakers and a question and answer period that, you know, it's a closed doors educational lesson that you couldn't be able to do anyplace else. And it's not bad for $100. You know, that covers everything.
No, exactly. And I personally sat in on about maybe a half an hour of it last year. And I will tell you, it is a show. I've been chartering the local waters for over 30-some years, and it is a seminar that I would want to sit in on. I mean, I know that I could learn some stuff. You know, they were going over different uses of mapping, and I was like, And then I got a call saying I was needed someplace else. But, you know, I mean, I would love to be able to do it. I can't. If you haven't got a gift for somebody that's an outdoorsman, what an opportunity! You know, get him a pass to the walleye school or to the you know, the outdoor show.
Niagara Fishing Expo, I think, is the website.
NiagaraFishingExpo.com. Yes, it is. And
yeah,
you know, I think that you know, the opportunities are there. From, I mean, it's just, if you go on there, once the schedule gets up, you will be, your mind will be blown as to the different opportunities there are, from bass fishing to walleye fishing to salmon seminars to trout seminars to perch seminars to safety seminars to kayak seminars. I mean, It's unbelievable. You would think that you would have to spend a month to get all this information in one state, in one place.
Yep. Yep, you're absolutely right. I see the time is getting a little tight, so I'm going to get off, and then you can sign off.
Yeah, well, what I'd like to say, too, Bill, is I really appreciate, you know, everything you do, and people can, you know, stay updated at on a weekly basis through the Buffalo News. You have an article that comes out every other week, but you have the calendar on those off weeks and, you know, catch of the week, and you're a valuable asset to the sport fishing community here in Western New York. It's Christmas.
Well, thank you, Frank, and have a good Christmas.
You too. Thanks, Bill.
You too, Eric.
All right, you too, Bill. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
oh,
take care.
What an informative conversation you guys just had.
Yeah, yeah, and you want to know, we're pretty nice. I mean, it is the Christmas spirit, right?
You know, I was expecting a couple of chicken wing cracks in there, and I was willing to put them in, but it was just too... The pleasantries were just too much for me. I couldn't handle it.
A little bit of kumbaya.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So, I mean, as I've been saying, Bill does a great job, you know, promoting the area, even though he's retired. Still does the Buffalo News. He talked about that Niagara Expo. I know it's the Christmas season. Go to NiagaraFishingExpo.com if you want any information on it, or if you want to buy that sport person in your life a Christmas gift. There's an opportunity to buy passes to the Walleye School and or a four-day pass, a one-day pass to the show. You won't regret it. People will be happy. You know, there's also other opportunities. We're talking about Christmas. Maybe right. You got a youngster in your life. Look into a lifetime fishing or hunting license. You know, it's something that gets the gift that keeps on giving. I have one. I've never... You know, I had to go and buy another one for 25, 30 years now. So I definitely got my money's worth. Comes in the mail every December.
Right.
And you're ready to rock and roll. So, you know, those are two excellent opportunities for gift ideas.
Agreed. Oh, holy smokes. It is just about time for us to go. Final thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, enjoy the holidays. Merry Christmas to everybody. And, you know, if you have a chance, the weather's going to break. Today might not look it, but the fishing's been outstanding. Go take advantage of, you know, what we have here.
Very good. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Frank Campbell here on the world's greatest outdoor show here in WLVL 1340. And we'll talk to him again maybe another month or so. Frank, what do you think?
Sounds good.
All right, we'll talk to you then. All right, folks, we'll see you next time here on WLVL 1340 AM, your hometown station.